What we are saying is that our three strategies have always been based on prevention, prevention, and prevention. So all that money, we really wanted to go towards prevention. And this is because the rest of the world, and I think all of us are saying, let's contain the Ebola at source in the three or four countries where it is. I think that's where the greatest effort should be. But in our own individual countries, we'd like to make sure that we put up preventive measures that are sustainable, because we do not know how long this particular outbreak will last. The estimates are saying between 3 and 6 months. So we need to have that heightened vigilance. And for that, we have put up a budget where most of the money will go towards training and appropriate equipment, including the appropriate ambulancing services, just in case anything like that happens, and strengthening our border posts, strengthening the airport surveillance, and then educating the people, training our health professionals, training the people at the borders, but more importantly, in terms of advocacy to the population, so that everybody is alert and aware of the consequences and non-consequences of the Ebola virus disease.
When you speak about training and appropriate equipment, what exactly is Zimbabwe doing to train its healthcare workers?
Yeah, it is important that when you are training, you are looking at particularly the frontline people. That is one, the port health authorities, that they are equipped with the knowledge on Ebola and how to react, how to clothe themselves in terms of protection, how they approach and manage passengers, for an example, at the port health authorities, how we can disseminate that message in aeroplanes, at airports, and at all the port stations. That's part of the training. Then the next important training is at our hospitals, where we've designated certain of our hospitals as possible isolation units. And that training is important so that health personnel don't necessarily get frightened and panic on a patient who may have symptoms simulating Ebola when in fact it may not be Ebola. So that training is needed so that we don't have a situation where health professionals actually run away from a patient. So that is encompassed in the training. And if you look at the hospital's casualties or where patients come as in emergencies, you look at that, both in the private and the public sectors, especially the major institutions. And then you want to sensitize the major hospitals in the country, in the provinces, in the rural areas, so that all that information is disseminated and people are trained appropriately in certain centers.
Let's look at protocol in regards to when a hospital or healthcare worker deems someone to have the Ebola virus. What exactly should healthcare workers and hospitals do, but also patients who suspect they might have Ebola?
The most important thing is to get a correct history. You see, you may have symptoms that are similar to malaria or a flu or typhoid, but the most important thing is to get a history of having contact, intimate contact, with somebody who has had Ebola or a dead body from Ebola. The contact history is critical. Otherwise, you'd have everybody coming to you and thinking that they've got Ebola because they've got a sore throat, that they've got a body weakness, that they are vomiting. You all think maybe this is Ebola. But the most important thing is contact, the history of contact with contaminant symptoms there. So that is part of the critical training. And when that happens, if they get that history, then they are alerted. And if there's that link between those symptoms and the history of having come from that particular area, then you want to possibly isolate that particular patient very quickly. And most of the hospitals like PARI now have that sort of temporary isolation unit before they are taken to the place called Wilkins Infectious Disease Hospital, which has got a fully-fledged isolation facility.
Looking at the case that recently occurred at Wilkins Infectious Disease Hospital, there were some questions in regards to Zimbabwe having to send the Ebola sample to South Africa. Will Zimbabwe be able in the nearest future to test for Ebola within the country?
Yes, I think as you may or may not be aware, the most important thing is that we need what you call a level 4 type of laboratory, which really demands that there are certain gadgets in that laboratory, particularly the air suction, the vacuum, the partial vacuum atmosphere that is needed. That level 4 laboratory we do not have here in Harare or in Zimbabwe. But we are looking at possibilities, and part of that money is also going to look at that feasibility study to see if we can have a level 4 laboratory. And it's not just in anticipation or because of Ebola, but it's a service that we think is necessary for the hemorrhagic fevers and other highly infectious diseases. So it would be very desirable to have a level 4 laboratory here in Harare or in Zimbabwe and in other strategic countries within this other region. But for now, the only recognized one is the one in South Africa, and that is the one we are using.
We are looking at some of the issues that arose from the Ebola in regards to tourism. I was seeing the Sanganai tourism exhibit that is happening this week, where some exhibitors pulled out in regards to issue and fears of Ebola. What is your message to them in reassuring them that Zimbabwe is prepared for that?
Zimbabwe is very prepared, extremely vigilant on it. There is no case of Ebola in the country. Our ports are fully manned to appropriately screen and offer surveillance where it is necessary. And of course, while there is a lot of active international rapid travel, but our ports, the airports are fully fledged to look out for that. So it's safe, very, very safe. There's no fear whatsoever in terms of having an endemic situation in this country. We do not have any Ebola case in Zimbabwe as we speak now. And we hope we will never have that case. So it's a safe country, and the medical personnel ourselves are highly vigilant. The ministry, up to the highest level, in terms of the president, are all saying, let's look out for that. We cannot afford to have this. So that is the situation in Zimbabwe.